Speaking on this program is Mark Lance.
This morning I want us to think about things that people say religiously and think that it's true and believe with all their heart that it is. But brethren, what we must understand, the Bible is our only authority. How do we determine if something's right or wrong? How do you determine what's right and what's wrong and who decides? Well, it's not left up to the people, because Jeremiah said, "O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man that walks to direct his steps." Jeremiah 10, verse 23. So man's not the standard. And you see men that have tried to deviate from the Word of God, it always leads in catastrophe. But brethren, we do have the complete, revealed Word of God, inspired by the Holy Spirit. And it guides us into all truth. Therefore, we can know what the Bible says. But sometimes we hear people make claims. But sometimes we need to finally ask the question, when somebody says something, and maybe we just think something, perhaps we've been taught something all of our lives, but where does the Bible say that? We need to be able to turn to the Scripture and see what the Bible says pertaining to that. Now, sometimes what we find out, what I thought was true, is not exactly right. Now, we need to be like the one that we call the Apostle Paul now. When we first meet him, he saw of Tarsus. He was very religious, even above all his countrymen. But he found out he was actually persecuting the church. But when he found out the truth, he changed. And immediately, he didn't wait. He started serving the Lord and teaching the gospel that he once persecuted. So I would ask us, take an honest investigation into the Word of God. Obviously, this morning, we can't cover every topic of this nature that comes up, but we will cover some of the main ones. And the first one is, some people teach that we're saved by faith only. Now, first we want to establish, without doubt, the Bible teaches that we're saved by faith. No doubt about it. The Bible teaches it actually repeatedly. And we see in the words of Jesus in Luke 6, verse 46, "And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say, but Lord, we believe." Honestly, he didn't think that was enough, did he? See, we must put our faith into action. Without that, it is useless. We read in Hebrews 5, verses 8 and 9, "Though he were a son, Jesus, yet learned he obedience." He followed the will of the Father. When you see Jesus praying in the Garden of Gethsemane before his crucifixion, "Father, if there be any other way, let this cup pass from me, but thy will be done." Oh, you believe. You believe that's good. Do you realize there's a lot of believers that are probably still laying in the bed right now? Perhaps some of them have gone down to the lake, or maybe even some of them are trying to recover from what they did last night, but they believe in God. That is not enough to save us, though. It's required to have faith. But brethren, the Bible talks about different kinds of faith repeatedly throughout the Bible. Our faith must be a faith that is willing to obey. Even things that I maybe didn't previously understand, when I see them, I must be willing to submit to them and change my life. The passage that Butch read for us in James chapter 2, beginning at verse 14, going through verse 24, James writes this, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith, I believe, and my faith in God is just as strong as yours is, and have not works, can faith save him?" It's a rhetorical question. No, it can't save him. It does no good. You believe in God, but you don't act upon it. He says, it's useless. It's in vain. If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say unto them, "Depart in peace, be ye warmed and filled," notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Here's somebody that has a need. Well, I believe in God, and you go ahead and God bless you, and you'll be warmed and filled, and that takes care of that. No, it doesn't. You didn't give them the clothes they needed to keep them warm. You didn't give them the food they needed so they could eat. And brother, we could break that down into other things too. I believe in God as much as anybody else does. You must be found serving Him. Back to the verse that we first looked at, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" We must be willing to serve God if we truly believe in Him. It's not just lip service. It's not just saying the right words. It's not just going through the motions. And the Lord's Supper, you know, that's a very special time when we make a remembrance of Jesus in this memorial. But brethren, it's also a very serious time that we must examine ourselves. And we can't live our life any way we choose all week long. As long as I take the Lord's Supper, it's okay. No, it's not. See, the rest of our week we will be found serving God on a regular basis. Because that's the only way that we can come in and partake of the Lord's Supper in a way that we ought to be partaking of it. Because we must examine ourselves. Well, I've been out doing this and doing that. Repent. Bring your offering. And then you're ready to take the Lord's Supper. You must be in the right condition. But he goes on to say in verse 17, even so faith, notice this, can't get around it. If it hath not works, is dead, being alone. Now, he didn't say faith's not required. He just said faith by itself will not do you any good. And also, we might even go and say this. Somebody may know the Bible real well. Sometimes, especially a teacher or a preacher will hear somebody say, well, I know the Bible as good as you do. If you're not obeying it, it doesn't do you any good. What a shame. You know that much about the Bible and won't obey it. It won't teach it to others. You're not out doing what it says to do. Brethren, we've got some living to do once we believe in God. Notice what we read in verse 18. Yea, a man may say, thou hast faith, and I have works. Show me thy faith without thy works, and I will show thee my faith by my works. Doesn't mean we earn our salvation. But our God has said, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Do good unto all men, especially them of the household of faith. Brethren, we have things that we must be doing. The fields are wide in the harvest, but the labors are few. Just having faith and believing in God. You can believe in God with all of your heart. Know that He's real. But if you don't submit to Him, if you don't obey Him, it won't do you any good. So we must be willing to act upon our faith. Now notice verse 19. And this is a verse that is a death blow to faith only. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. That's good. The devils also believe and tremble. What about Satan? He knows that God is real. You think he'll be in heaven? No. Why? Because he will not submit to God. He will not obey God. What about the demons that follow Satan? Well, they'll be lost, but they know God's real. They work against Him every day. Why won't they be saved? Because of a lack of submission. No, even with faith? Even though they believe? Yes. What about us, though? If we have faith and we don't act upon that faith, we're going to be lost as well. So faith alone will not save us. See, you cannot go to the passage that says that we're saved by faith alone. And actually, if you'll keep reading in this passage, you're going to find out it does mention faith only. Well, let's notice what the Scripture says. Verse 20, but wilt thou know, O vain man, that faith without works is dead. If you're not actively serving God, your faith is dead. I don't want to have that kind of faith. Now we have established there's at least one kind of faith there. There's something called a dead faith. We certainly don't want that kind of faith. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works? Doesn't mean he deserved any salvation. When he had offered Isaac his son upon the altar. Now, you've got to stop and think about the story. Who told him to go and make the offering? God did. He believed in God, and therefore he obeyed God. Seest thou how faith wrought with works? Oh, they worked together. And God is the one that commands them. They don't work against each other. They work in harmony together with each other. And by works was faith made perfect. How do I make my faith complete? I put it into action. Now, he says, and the Scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. When? When he did what God said to do. Not faith only. I believe you, God, and I'm not leaving my homeland. I believe you, God, but I'm not offering any sacrifice. It wouldn't have been counted as righteousness for him. But now notice verse 24. And this is the only time in the Bible that you see the phrase together, faith only. You see then how that by works a man is justified and not by faith only. See, faith only won't save. It's not unusual to meet somebody and they'll say, I believe in God just as much as you do. And if you don't serve Him, you're still lost. You must serve Him with all of your heart. Now we'll ask the next question that we see sometimes, and it's pretty popular among a lot of religious groups. Just pray the sinner's prayer. Pray for Jesus to come into your hearts. Now, you know, a lot of religious groups build their entire doctrine upon this. Now, I think I've related to you before, been at a funeral that was not preached by a member of the church, going out of respect, and he told everybody to close their eyes and bow their head and raise their hands if anybody wanted salvation. I haven't read of that one either. And why is it that you read the Bible from cover to cover, and nobody by inspiration ever told anybody that needed salvation, just pray and let Jesus come into your heart? Don't you think you would read about it at least one time? There's a reason that you don't read about it one time. It never was God's plan for saving man. It never was God's plan. But when you start looking at the Bible, it's just simply not there. Pray the sinner's prayer. Oh, there's one by the name of Saul of Tarsus that we mentioned. When he lost his sight, he went in the city and prayed for 3 days. A man by the name of Ananias came to him. Saul, Saul, what hearest thou? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins, calling on the name of the Lord. A sinner just praying didn't do it. Saul, how are you going to have your sins forgiven? Arise and be baptized. Wash away thy sins. Calling on the name of the Lord. How do you call on the name of the Lord? Doing what God said to do. We call on the name of the Lord. And that's what we find them doing. We read this in John chapter... there's James 14:24 again. I think I'm going backwards. John 9, verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. But if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth His will, him He heareth. The right to pray... You must be a follower of God to begin with. Well, I'm a sinner. I want to be saved. I'll pray to God. Please accept me. Please, Jesus, come into my heart. You're not in a condition to pray yet. You must be in the right condition to pray to God. Not everybody has that right. Now, everybody can gain that right if they'll submit to God. Now, this is the words of Jesus that's on the screen. Now we know that God heareth not sinners. That's the reason when some people get in the bind and say, well, God, I'll bargain with you. If you'll grant me this, I'll do this. You're not in a position to bargain with God. Not even in a position to talk to God if you're not a Christian first. After you become a Christian, then you have the power of prayer. But not before. We also read Proverbs 28, verse 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. If you don't hear the word of God... Now, when he says hear, he's talking about with the idea of obeying. They may physically hear, but if we refuse to obey God's will, He's not going to answer our prayers. And really the question comes, why should He? If we're not going to obey Him, why would He answer our prayers and bless us? Parents, think of your own children or grandchildren. You tell your children to do something, you tell your grandchild to do something, and they completely disobey you. Well, here's your reward. Reward for what? You didn't do what I said to do. So the reward is withheld. The blessing is withheld. It's not granted. But it's still your child, and it's still withheld. Even with grown children, sometimes inheritance are forsaken. They're given up. They're withheld. They're lost. So we must be in the right condition to pray to God to begin with. And now the passage that we referred to just a moment ago, here's how a man put himself in a position to pray to God. He'd already tried praying as a non-Christian, as a sinner. Didn't work. Here's what Ananias said to him. Why tarriest thou? Why do you wait? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. See, he wasn't saved because his sins hadn't been forgiven yet, even though he was praying. He was not in a position to pray. And he called on the name of the Lord. How did he do that? What does the Scripture say? By rising and being baptized. See, if we'll allow the Scripture to explain itself, it will shed a lot of light on itself, won't it? But now, we listen to what some man says. He will say, just lay your hand on the TV. Lay your hand on the radio. Just pray that Jesus will come into your heart. I even heard one that professed to be a brother in Christ at one time. And if he's a brother, he's an erring brother, to say the least. He said for people just to pray that prayer and let Jesus come into your heart, and then go to some church, it didn't matter which church, and then you could be baptized, not to be saved, but to show that you're already saved. That wasn't what we read, though, is it? It's what a man said. Now, you may be popular, you may sell some books. He's not inspired, though. See, we want to put our finger on the passage. He couldn't do that. Now, it sounds easy, doesn't it? And a lot of people are looking for an easy way to follow God. I don't want to exert that much energy. We'll just pray for Jesus to come in your heart, pack up the picnic lunch, and head out to the lake. Feel good about yourself. And maybe even if they make the Lord's Supper where you could just stop by the door and pick it up, well, some brethren would be even happier. Why? They don't like that word called commitment. Serve God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your soul. See, it's more than simply just believing or just pray. We must be in the right condition to pray. Now, God hears not the prayer of sinners. So, if I'm not a Christian, God's not going to hear me. But now, even as a child of God, if I'm refusing to obey Him, I'm not going to do what He said. My prayers are abomination. He's not going to answer those prayers. It may make us feel good, but you know, a lot of people have felt good when they were going the wrong direction. A lot of people have thought they were going the right direction on their journey. Felt real good about it, only to find out they went down the wrong road. Then they didn't feel so good. But you know, this is much more serious than just traveling down the highway. See, some people are not going to find out to the day of judgment. They weren't serving God to begin with. Depart, you worker of iniquity. I never knew you. But Lord, did we do many wonderful works in your name and cast out devils in your name? No. No, you didn't. See, there is a standard that we must go by. And brethren, we must know what the standard is. And then thirdly, let's think of the moment, and one that's very popular in our area, sprinkling for baptism. I have been asked by more than one person, will you christen my baby? Now, I try to be very polite and try to explain the Scriptures. The answer is no. Or just for a straight answer. Why? The Bible doesn't authorize it. The Bible doesn't command it. We see when we read the Scripture that it's always those that have the ability to believe. An infant can't believe or not believe. We're told to repent. An infant can't believe. An infant can't repent. Infant's not qualified to be baptized. But our tradition, what tradition? Human tradition says that's the way that it's been done, not scriptural tradition. See, when you read the Bible, you can't find where infants were being baptized. I know in our area it's very popular. But we're not told to baptize babies. Romans 6, 3 and 4, Paul says this, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? That's where He shed His blood, wasn't it? That's where we contact the blood. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Well, baptism to begin with is not a sprinkling. It's a burial. So anybody that's old enough to believe, anybody that's old enough to repent, you can't sprinkle water on them and save them to begin with. These people that you read about in the Bible, they were buried in baptism, immersed in water. That old man of sin was buried in that watery grave. That old man is crucified. The new man is resurrected to walk in newness of life. The new birth that Jesus talked with Nicodemus about, John chapter 3. See, See, we can see that. Well, sprinkling, it won't save anybody. It's a human tradition given by certain religious groups to do that, but it never was given by God. Now we go on to read in Acts 8, beginning in verse 36, the conversion of the eunuch. And as they went on their way, they came into a certain water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What doth hinder me to be baptized?" Fair question, isn't it? You may be asking that question today in your own heart. Notice what Philip said. "If thou believest with all thine heart," a little baby that you can hold in your arms cannot do that. It's impossible. What does that infant believe? Keep on reading. "If thou believest with all thine heart, thou mayest." And he answered and said, can you imagine the three-month-old saying this? "I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God." Never have heard it before. Why? They can't do it. They're incapable. And to start with, brother, they're not lost to start with. The soul that sins, it shall die. Ezekiel 18:20. The soul that sins, infants don't sin. Well, what about the sins of his parents? May cause some consequences. But that child is not going to be held accountable for what mom and dad or anybody else did. The soul that sins, it shall die. They'll be held accountable, not somebody else. Philip, commanded the chariot to stand still. Notice this. And they went down both into the water. If he's going to sprinkle the water on them, why would you both go down into the water? Why not just scoop your hand down and sprinkle it upon the eunuch's head and he'd be saved? He didn't do it. And you don't see one Bible example of it ever being done. It's a human tradition. He went down both into the water, both Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. Now notice this next verse. "And when they were come up out of the water..." Sprinkling doesn't cover that, does it? Actually, just pouring water upon him doesn't do it. He could have done that in the chariot. Never stopped the chariot. Just keep on going. Sprinkled him, poured water on him. He stopped the chariot because there was water. And they went down into the water. And he was baptized. "And when they were come up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord called away Philip. And the eunuch saw him no more, and he went on his way rejoicing." When? When he was baptized. Not before. Not when he just had faith. He was already reading Scripture. But he did what God said to do. And brethren, that's the same thing that we must do. We must do what the Lord says. Now, another one we want to look at, a common phrase. One church is just as good as another. Really? Do you think Outback and McDonald's are pretty much the same? Go to McDonald's and order a ribeye. They're all the same. I'll go and watch you. I'm not going to stand in line like I know you, but I'll watch you. Order your ribeye and a salad and baked potato. And start with just sit down because they'll come to your table at McDonald's and they'll kneel down like you. They don't do that. Why? They're not all the same, not even a restaurant. Why do we think religious groups are the same? They don't teach the same thing. They can't be the same. Some things may be the same. Moral things may be the same. But there's more to it than that. We read in the Scripture where Jesus said, "Upon this rock I will build my church." Matthew 16:18. That is singular. You know, a lot of people won't accept that today, that Jesus said He would build His church. That's too narrow. And I don't believe that. But let's look at some more Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10 through 13. Paul speaking. See, they had this problem that we face today. It started in the first century. "Now I beseech you, brethren," he pleaded with them, "by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ," there's the authority, "that ye all speak the same thing, and that there be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you, they're having problems. What are those problems? Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I'm of Paul. I'm a follower of his. I'm of Apollos. And I of Cephas. And I of Christ. Division. This group, this group, this group. He asked them the question, verse 13, is Christ divided? Was Paul crucified for you? Or were you baptized in the name of Paul? He didn't die on the cross for their sins, nor yours or mine. Jesus Christ did. Therefore, I will be a follower of His. Upon this rock I will build my church. Jesus is going to come back and take the church and deliver it up to the Father. Which one? The one that He died for. Why would He deliver up a man-made church? Man-made church teaches that you sprinkle instead of baptize. A man-made church teaches that infants are born lost, inherit the sins of their parents. Bible doesn't. Now what we have to choose, which one will we believe? Which one will we follow? But the choice that we make, we must understand that salvation weighs in the balances. We also read this, Mark 16:16. And think for a moment, you don't have to have a PhD to understand this. I don't have to have some hierarchy to tell me what this means. And now when I get to the confusion part, you stop me. He, nobody stopped me yet. That, no hands up yet. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. But he that believeth not shall be damned. That's the words of Jesus. What is confusing about that? Infants can't believe. Therefore, they're not a candidate to be baptized. Now, we also read 1 Peter 3:21, because we have some that tell us baptism is not required for salvation. I'm going to read the scripture. You make up your mind. The light figure one, even baptism doth also now save us. Some will say, no, it doesn't. Decide. You have to decide. Not the putting away of the filth of the flesh. It's not a bath. But the answer of a good conscience toward God by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Brethren, what does the Scripture say? And we must put our finger on that. There's others that we could look at, I understand. But we're going to stop there for this morning. But you have to make a decision. Perhaps those in this audience, have you been baptized for the remission of sins? Now, I don't mean were you sprinkled as a child. That's not baptism. And I don't mean were you baptized in some religious group that you can't read about in the Bible, because that's what we're doing today, putting our finger on the Scripture. If you were part of some, baptized into some man-made religious group, Jesus is not coming back for that group. Now, you've got a decision to make before you. Saul of Tarsus, when he heard the truth, he submitted to it, even though he had been very religious. What about us? What about when we hear truth? Are we willing to submit to it? I thought I was saved, but I wasn't. Today I'm going to repent of my sins and be baptized and put my Lord on. And my sins will be washed away. But what about another aspect? What about those that have done that? Who have you been studying with lately? Or have you been studying with yourself even lately? By yourself? What about that great commission, going to all the world and preach the gospel to every creature? Are you helping to fulfill that? Do good unto all men. See, after we become Christians, there's some living that we must do. And here's the thing. We may say the first group, well, if you're not baptized, you'll be lost. That's right. I hate to tell you, if you're a member of the body of Christ and you're not actively serving God, you're no better off than that first group. You may be worse off because you know what truth is. And you're treating the Lord and His church in such a way that it just doesn't matter. It's flippant. I can take it, leave it. Hey, it doesn't matter. Do we follow one of these categories? Why would anybody be ashamed to ask for forgiveness? Why would anybody be ashamed to be baptized? I can tell you, the reason I'm here this morning is because I want to go to heaven. Don't you? And if I'm not serving God as I should, I want to do something about that. I do not want to miss heaven. This life is brief. James says so. It's like a vapor. It appears for a short period of time, and then it vanishes away. When the Lord comes, when death finds me, I want to be ready. What about you?